Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to Wild 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 Cards. I'm your host, well, co-host Mike Lafferty, your main host, Howard Stern to my Baba Booey is Ross Watson. How you doing, Ross?
Doing good. How are you?
All right. The Dwayne Johnson to my Kevin Hart. And we have from Pinnacle Entertainment, Daryl Hayhurst. How you doing, Daryl?
Hi, I'm doing great, you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you being
here.
I think,
if anything, I'm the Kevin Hart of this relationship.
No, I'm the Kevin. You can be a Jason Statham, but okay.
You know what? If you could be Jason Statham.
If only he was Batman, too. All right, I have to play our contractually obligated music. One second. That little audiovisual panorama assures you, gentle viewer, that this is a high-quality, high-production-value podcast. Only the finest, ethically sourced, geeky conversations for your podcast listening pleasure.
Nothing but the best.
Let's get the work out of the way. tinyurl.com.
Farted-to-table podcast.
What are you doing, Russ?
It's artisanal.
It's handcrafted. It's bespoke.
Yes, exactly.
But by the way, bespoke is a thing inside our house. We have a couple, like at least one person that like her eyes bleed whenever anyone says bespoke. So now,
wow,
like we will use that word in ways that it was not meant to be used, just to trigger that reaction. Hilarious. Look for a lot of bespoke solutions for all of our sales coming up.
Fair enough. All right. Thanks, guys, for stepping on my cheesy intro. We'll dive right into the show. Daryl's here to talk about Savage Worlds Sci-Fi Companion, which is on Kickstarter now. We made a tiny URL so we could say it on the air easily because we are pros. Right beneath Ross, tinyurl.com/suedesci-fi will take you directly to the Kickstarter, which is going gangbusters there. You guys have just kicked down that goal.
It is, like, shocking. Like, literally shocking. Like, we have... We're always trying to be careful with our expectations, and lately have always been pleasantly surprised. And this one was just like, wait, what? Like, awesome. But we, like, some of us suspected sci-fi, it was one of the, you know, a lot of us, it was our favorite companion for last edition, and we've been waiting for it for a long time. So, like, it shouldn't be that much of a surprise that a lot of people have jumped on that, but it still is. Like, oh my God, people want it. Awesome.
Well, let's talk about it. We are sharing the page. You guys are almost a quarter of a million. We're at 237K, that of a $4,000 goal.
The one that we're always more impressed with is number of backers.
And, yeah.
2.4K, unbelievable. Yeah, that's insane for us. Like,
and the number's
hey,
going
we
up
just got one.
Yeah, guess who that was?
Did you back? I backed like a minute ago. So,
I mean, it's so only 6,000% funded. So, 2,500 backers. That's pretty great.
Yeah, it is. It's again, everyone came for this one, and thank you all so much for doing so. And if you haven't yet, it's a good one.
And you still got plenty of time to jump on that bandwagon. 18 days to go.
Yep.
So, you know, well over 2 weeks. Hey, we have a commenter. Christopher Levy says, looking forward to it for Star Wars. Right on, brother.
I will speak from experience to say Savage Worlds is a great system to run Star Wars in.
Have done, and it was good. Yeah.
I'm looking for the perfect system that emulates the randomness of lightsaber damage, though. Like, sometimes getting stepped to the torso kills you, and sometimes it's barely an inconvenience. Haven't found something that will perfectly, you know, emulate the genre. Well, hey, tell us if we're a backer, and both Ross and I became backers in the last 5 minutes, what can we expect in the Sci-Fi Companion?
Yeah, so if you have the old Science Fiction Companion, that's where we started, right? First off, everything that was in that needed to be cleaned up, updated, and made compatible with Swain. But all of that stuff, we still had to cover those same bases. And then all of the things that it didn't have, so like when the original science fiction campaign came out, it was tied to a specific setting, essentially, like the species, the tech and everything was for the last parsec. And there were levers you could pull to do other things, but kind of the foundation was, hey, this is really the last parsec book, kind of core. And with this one, we wanted to make it much more like the other companions, where it's like, well, no, this is a toolkit for all science fiction. And that's also why it's a monster book, compared to the old one, and even compared to the other companions, where like we don't have an exact page count yet, but it looks like it's going to be like 300 plus, and that's a monster for us. That's a good 50 pages larger than our largest other book.
I will say, as someone that worked on Last Parsec, I appreciated that link, but at the same time, I completely understand and appreciate even more the idea of a more broader approach.
Right, and I love Last Parsec, right? But at the same token, like we were just joking, like, well, I'm going to use this for Star Wars, and Last Parsec's pretty different from Star Wars. And yes, Old Sci-Fi Companion did have elements for that. This one leans into them much harder, where we've got different development levels that you can capture, as low as kind of gritty cyberpunk and as high as more, well, we've got teleporters and matter converters and, things that you'd expect in Star Trek level technology. And then beyond that, hey, let's get some Doc Smith stuff in here. And, all of that really crazy stuff. There's this giant shotgun pattern of things to cover. Yeah. And Rifts is another, that's another thing that's like in between the old companion and the new one. Rifts has come out, and it's sort of its own thing in so many levels. But we needed to have stuff in there that people could use in their Rifts stuff and be like, well, wait, I want to add specific items or mods, or build vehicles from the ground up, but I will say, for power level wise, not all settings are created equal. Like, for example, when Fantasy Companion came out, it was a little different from Pathfinder for Savage Worlds. Like, all of the species and the ancestries in Pathfinder were balanced 2 points, character points higher than regular ancestries in Savage Worlds, because that's the setting, right? Like, the setting, they're a little bit tougher. And Rifts is the same. Like, some of their stuff is really tough. You compare it to anything in the Swayed book, and you'll be like, wow, that's going to stomp, something in that. The stuff in Sci-Fi Companion is going to be balanced more towards the Swayed book, but there will be the options in there for that stronger, nastier, stuff. So, but I know that's something that people will be looking for, because Rifts is so popular.
I mean, it's a pretty good setting.
It is. Very cool.
And Joe Stone, as you alluded to, he says, can't wait to use it with Rifts. And Joe just subscribed to the podcast. So, Joe, thank you very much. We certainly appreciate that. Oops. Before the show, we were talking about a lot of publishers are doing sci-fi settings. I know Ross over at Star Anvil, you guys have a big Dominions of Steel, right?
Dominions of Steel, yeah.
We've got a couple settings, actually. We've got Dominions of Steel, yes, but we also have Saints and Sinners.
Saints and Sinners, with. Yep.
So, and just two off the bat are those two. Yeah, and the Sci-Fi Companion is going to be really useful for both of them.
Right, and this was one of the reasons why we wanted to push to get it out, because there are settings like yours, like Tracy's Han Cluster, all of these aces have these science fiction settings, and we knew once Sci-Fi Companion came out, if your setting came out first, it'd be like, missed opportunities. Here are this new crunch that we could have played with, or that we did in a different way, and now we're offset, right? And we didn't want to do that to anyone. So we're kind of getting it out there, you know, for Aces so that they can start finalizing their own products. And I think a slew of these are all going to come out like all at the same time. Yeah.
Well, boy, I know I've got a bunch coming out this year. I'll probably be rushing to convert them. But it sounds like the PDF will be available sometime soon after the campaign's over, or is that?
Yeah. So the plan is what we want to do, you know, we are still playtesting and adding items, right? As we throw that wider net, you know, and all the things that come up that didn't exist in the old one or weren't as strong a trope, like transhumanism and things like that. We're like, well, we got to bring all of that in. And significant work's been done, but we're going to work till the last minute refining, playtesting and all that. And then after the Kickstarter, we're going to get that version out to people, and it's going to go through a wider playtest, right, for the backers and things like that. And this is why the delivery time on this one is a little bit longer than our usual ones, because we found this happen with every companion where it's like, look, there is a period of 2 to 4 months where these new ideas are coming out and people start using them, and it's different when you got 1,000 people doing it than when you've got 10 people doing it. And we want to capture all that. We want to bring it in. We want to refine it again before we print. And then we've all experienced the madness of the current printing and transport schedules. So we knew there was going to be an extra couple months for that beyond the usual. So, but in the meantime, people will get to play with it, essentially. Maybe not the physical product, but a digital product.
Awesome. I'm so excited about the Sci-Fi Companion. There's just a ton of good stuff in the last one for sure. And I'm excited to see what's available in this one. I can tell from the art already, it's got, you know, some giant robots in it. It's got some spaceships, which and the alien on the cover is just superb. Right? So well done.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting thing, the other interesting thing about this one is most of the companions are, I mean, and this one too, right? It's Shane, right? Like, this is Shane's vision. But unlike a lot of the other companions, a lot of us got to borrow the keys to the car and then like do donuts in the parking lot with it. So like, I had time to put a bunch of stuff in. Sean Robertson from Rifts got it and got to, you know, add his things to it. Mike Barbeau, brilliant designer, right? Got to put his touch on it. Oh man, I'm forgetting someone that got to play with it too. And I got like a second round because I'm lucky. Brian Reeves, he got to add a bunch of stuff to it. So, and then Shane comes in and adds more and puts his unique stamp on it, right? So there's just so much there. And that's why this is kind of more book than we usually put out.
All right, cool. Well, hey, I'm looking at the place on the Kickstarter page. We talk about what's new, Sci-Fi Companion. So Let's assume we might have some listeners who haven't backed yet. If you wanted to sell them on this book, what's the cool and shiny coming with the new Sci-Fi Companion?
So let's see, stuff that I can talk about there. Like, so one thing, we've got our vehicles, the various vehicles from powered armor to walkers to regular old vehicles to spaceships listed there. And one of the things that's really fun that we've worked so hard on is Fast Furious fun, right? Like you still have the modular builds that you had in the old one, but they're streamlined, they're simplified. You can make a solid ship in about 15 minutes. And it still feels unique. Like that's one of our exercises that we did. Was we had 5 people sit down at the table and was like, you know, build a, we won't call it a TIE fighter, but we will say a light space fighter or whatever.
And one that has twin ion engines, perhaps?
Yeah, exactly. Like we're not, you know, we didn't want to say that just so if somebody made a Z95 instead, okay, great.
You know your Star Wars lore.
I maybe a little bit. And then, right. But with, what was cool was, is like, man, 15 minutes later, we all had a light fighter. And some of them were different, right? Like, quite different. Like, oh, okay, that's not really a TIE fighter, but it is a light fighter, and that's cool. But either way, it was quick to do. And as a GM, like, Savage Worlds is for people that just don't have the time to mess with it, right? Like, I want an adventure that I can run, and if I don't have the time to prep, I want to be able to roll a couple of D6s and go. And this is, like, with that. But at the same token, if I want to, for my setting, like, I know Tracy's had to do this. Like, she's got a very unique spaceship that appears in it, and she went down and built it, like, component by component, and it came out pretty dang cool, right? So I'm very excited about that system, and I think we say something about it, so I can. But the other thing that I'm excited about for the vehicles is, if you've ever played high-end vehicle combat, you know, like, the tricky thing to manage is, all right, I've got toughness 85, armor 60, and I'm being hit by 10d12, you know, 10d12 AP40. Okay. All right, what am I rolling?
That sounds
against?
Like Savage Risk.
Right. So we wanted a way to streamline that so that would keep those, essentially those numbers intact without having to mess with them as much. And we call it, you know, there's a couple different versions. I prefer heavy metal or heavy metal damage, but it's an optional system, right? Where the guns get a class rating between 1 and 7, right? Based on their damage output. And there's little charts like, hey, look, if you got a gun that doesn't have a class, look at the chart. Here's what its class would be. 7 is, oh my God. 1 is kind of like light machine guns, right? And you can kind of guess what they are. Like, it feels right when you're done. And then the same, any vehicle with its armor and toughness, you give it a class. Here's its class rate based on that. And you say, like, all right, what's the difference between the weapon class and the target's class? It's doing no wounds, or it's doing a wound, or it's doing a D4 wounds. And that's it. And you just fly through combat like that. It's hard to go back, like, once you start using it. And it's a thing that I think a lot of people will start using. You don't have to. Like, it still works the normal way. But, man, once you've got that tool added to your toolbox, you start using it.
Oh, this sounds really interesting. I noticed you have a lot of pre-made adventures packed in there.
We do, right? Well, it's a separate book, a free book added to everybody that backs. Like, and like at least once a campaign, Shane will pull something like that where we're like, wait, are we really doing this? He's like, yeah, let's just give him the book for free. Okay, sure. Why not? But we got a lot of us doing adventures, because part of it was, how do we describe in the Science Fiction Companion all of the things that it's supposed to be able to encompass, right? And the easiest way to do that is to show people. So we got a lot of writers, me, Brian Reeves, Donald Shepis, who works with us, John Stevens, who works on Rifts.
Excellent guy. I like
he is
on a lot.
He's great, right? He's absolutely
looks
great.
Like a JM DeFoggy did one for you too.
Yes, JM. Yes.
JM, the GM.
Yeah, JM's great. And one of our other internals, Chris Landauer, is doing one. So, and we kind of took that this shotgun spread of, hey, look, well, yes, you can do aliens with this. Yes, you can do cyberpunk with this. Yes, you can do Star Wars, Star Trek, Dune, Battletech, right? Here are adventures that they're not really these settings, but when you're reading through them, they're supposed to spark that idea of like, oh, I can see what JM did here. If I were to run a Walker-based campaign, you know, with giant mecha stomping around as a mercenary company, it would look a lot like this, you know, and it's cool. Right?
Sweet, sweet. You know, guys, I have a sneeze that's coming, so I'm going to go on mute and let Ross run with the next question.
All right, so tell us one amazing thing from the Sci-Fi Companion that you haven't already talked about.
So, and this is why I try not to do that, because so much is going to be in flux until the last minute, right?
A setting rule.
Yeah, well, so here's what I will talk about. This is one that we've been working very hard on, and it is a, we're so close, right? But we're going to be working on it until the last minute. But it's essentially, it's a narrative system for doing multiple vehicle encounters in a way that's satisfying. You know, so it's like, hey, look, if you're a GM and you got Savage Worlds and you're playing, I don't know, Star Wars, and you got the Millennium Falcon and you want to run from four TIE fighters before a base can get a tractor beam on you, right? Like, how would you do that as experienced Savage Worlds GMs?
Chasing.
A chasing is one way, but chasings have a lot of weight to them. And
dramatic task.
Is it a dramatic task is another way. And I, right now we're leaning more on that side of the spectrum for these, right? But what we really want is like, hey, look, this is a couple rounds, this is a couple of rolls, but it's also got that meat on it. That's like, hey, look, I am blasting stuff with my guns. I am doing a loop-de-loop as the pilot. The engineer is cranking the engines up and getting us extra juice, you know, da-da-da-da-da. All that stuff's happening, and we are building towards a climax, right? And it might, we might win, we might not. That is a system that is going to be really cool. Okay. When it's really cool.
So one thing that was big about the Sci-Fi Companion in the previous edition was the alien builder, like the race builder. Is that something that you've done more with?
Well, we've done more with it, but you notice most of that stuff is in Suede now.
Yeah, I'm aware. I'm just
exactly. But yeah, no, there are new, you know, ancestral abilities that we've added to the table to cover those aliens. There's a metric ton more alien ancestries in the book. And then there's also, I mean, God, like 35 pages of critters, whether they be, you know, like, oh, space pirates to, you know, various face-eating aliens, you know, that are going to attack you in your campaign of different sizes. So, yeah, there's a lot of juice for that sort of thing.
Nice.
Do you have space dwarves?
So again, I try not to give details, or like, I want to be coy, but yeah, there's freaking space dwarves.
Starbeards.
Starbeards. We absolutely have, like, I've seen the art, so I know they're gonna make it. They're gonna make the cut.
Nice. Shoot, I wonder if I should. God, I was gonna publish Starbeards.
Well, I need to... but here's the thing, bro. That's just it.
You can use the Sci-Fi Companion.
Well, that, and it's just like. Pathfinder for Savage Worlds has dwarves.
Yeah.
The Savage Worlds Fantasy Companion has dwarves, and they're different, right? There's different flavors of those, and there's different variations, and it's the same here, where it's like, hey, look, this is, in the broadest sense, what it would be, but you've got all of these tools to make it your own from there on.
Speaking of tools, we got a question from Christopher Leedy, I guess you pronounce it?
Yes. Yes.
And he says, the answer is yes. See if there is a good mod system that allows me to go back and mod gear from the other books also.
The answer is yes. They say the mod system is still there. We have different vehicular frames that you can customize. And just like the other one, there will be like, hey, here's a kind of core ship, which may or may not be recognizable. And you can rip stuff off it and add things back on to make it your own. You can build from the ground up. The system it will be recognizable, but highly streamlined compared to
my favorite mod gear is the Banhammer.
And we have a question from Jeff Stone. Jeff Stone says, will there be a ton of edges? Like,
of course there will.
There are many edges. I believe Fantasy Companion has more edges than science fiction at the moment, because science fiction, we have a lot more pages of gear.
Cool.
Is there a strong selection of cyberware?
Oh yeah, there's a chapter on cyberware. Our new cyber psychosis stuff is really fun too, if you ask me.
Christopher Levy says we'll be including gear in the core book.
So it will not include gear from the core book because that's
you already have the core book.
This I could be wrong on, right? So there's a couple of items of futuristic gear, and we might actually reproduce the futuristic gear from Suede in there because it's like, look, it's +6 battle armor. It needs to be in here. It was also in Suede, but like it just exists, right?
Yeah, but the companions don't replace the core book. They add on.
They add on, but yeah. Like that's one, like I say, I know anything below futuristic, absolutely not. There might be a couple of items you've seen before if they've got different enhancements, flavors, whatever, different ways to do the same thing. Like, for example, I think they'll have the ways to customize them. So, for example, the vehicular laser appears in Suede, but it also appears in this because we have to give its mod cost in its damage class and things like that. So it's like, yeah. You've seen that laser before. The stats itself aren't different, but now we are listing it with that's a 2 mod install, and it's a damage class 3. Bam,
It's a vehicle with a freaking laser beam attached to it.
Right? Here's another kind of fun thing that's different in vehicular creation was before we would have fixed the rules were very open on how you would install things, and we would have to kind of counter rule like, oh, you just specifically can and can't do this one thing. Now what we do is the vehicular weapons have a minimum size, just like regular weapons have a minimum strength for characters. And that's how you avoid things like, oh, I'm going to put this, class 5 battle laser on a motorcycle. Hey, it's only 12 mods and a motorcycle's got 12, right? I guess technically no, that laser is minimum size 20. So don't try and put it, and you can put it on smaller stuff, but bad things happen when you do.
So maybe you need a sidecar for the laser is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Or like 20 sidecars will probably be good.
With 20 monkey sidekicks.
Some microphone with some motorbike with your laser.
But the nice thing is, like, that covers it very elegantly, and that's kind of an example of how that design process is streamlined now, where you're like, oh, cool, my motorcycle is size 2. If it's not size 1 or 2, I just can't put it on. Done.
Fair enough. It occurs to me, we were talking before the show, and we were reminiscing about how great Arizona is. And
it is so good.
It is good out there. I like Arizona. But you had said you wanted to talk about the process behind this book. And I think maybe we've been dancing around that on this podcast.
Yeah, we did a little bit. I got to talk about it a little with all of the people that got to contribute to it. And then the back end will be the process once the Kickstarter ends and we've got a file to send out to people to start picking over. And one of the pieces of that is one of the reasons to get the book out was we've got all these cool aces, right? Like you guys, like Tracy, like others that have science fiction settings, and we didn't want to leave them hanging or put your book out and then Science Fiction Companion comes out like a year later and you're like, we needed some of those options for our things or now we're not compatible, blah, 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 blah. And part of that time that we've carved ourselves that we get on every companion for feedback will not only be player feedback, but also aces, right? Like, well, how are you using this in your setting? Is this covering what you need to cover? How much do you have to modify it? And if it's a general enough modifier, is it something that should be in the core book? And we'll also let people talk about what they're doing. And hopefully that'll give you guys a little bit of a boost too. Probably
see some... has another question. If you have you can see it.
Yeah, mod gear from asking, the core book. Does the mod system allow me to mod gear from the core book is what I'm wondering.
Yeah. So there's on character gear, there are modifiers that you can put on any item that make them lighter, you know, and so on. So if you want to change gear, there is a way to express that. You know, when I think of modifications and mods, I'm usually at the vehicle scale, but the gear itself can be tweaked, and we have guidelines for that.
So I have a question. Can you tell us a little bit about any of the aces that are producing Sci-Fi Companion related material coming up that you're excited to see?
I mean, so the big ones we've kind of already mentioned. Like, I knew Saints and Sinners was coming out. I knew Dominions of Steel was coming out, and that's totally my jam, right? Obviously, my friend Tracy Sizemore has been working on Han Cluster. It's an amazing game, and we've been playing it for years now, and I can't wait till people like get their hands on it. And I know there's at least two or three others, and they're slipping my mind now. So, man, if you're my friend and showed me your sci-fi setting and I'm not talking about it, I apologize like a million times over. But hopefully JM will fix my error, and in Savage Universe, we'll get to talk about
Let's steer anyone who's thinking about a sci-fi companion-related product for Savage Worlds to Savage Universe, talk to JM, and get on the show to talk about it.
Yes. Yes, he's had a couple people on already, and we'll have more as we go. So come and get your love, everybody.
Guardians of the Galaxy reference. Nice.
Science fiction.
So let's say I'm a publisher who has a relatively popular post-apocalyptic section.
Yeah.
The After.
Oh,
yeah.
What about The After?
Yeah, right.
Is this book covering post-apocalyptic stuff? Do I need to dive into this book and see if I need to put out a new edition?
There will be things that you'll be able to use, but post-apocalyptic is enough of its own thing because it's less futuristic and more near now ruination. Mm-hmm. And maybe someday we'll do a companion more guided towards that, you know, but not anytime soon. So you're safe for a while.
Wait till 2025 and just look out the window and write what you see. But I definitely hear what you're saying.
If I don't screw it up, hopefully 2025 will be around when Lost Colony is wrapping up and Hell on Earth is starting to rev back up again. And that is the Deadlands post-apocalyptic book. There will probably be some fun things to play with there, too.
Fair enough. Well, hey, we've been talking for about half an hour, and that's usually about as long as we go here. I don't tend to do any self-promotion on this show because I'm that kind of guy.
Do it.
I'm running Kickstarter right now, tinyurl.com.
Woo!
Savage Owlbear.
Cocaine Owlbear.
Savage Cocaine Owlbear. And let me share this. Ross is doing a one-pager for me.
Nice.
We have a stream of me running a game of it, actually.
We do. On this very podcast, there is a stream of Ross running an actual play. Kevin Doswell over in the UK, he just did an actual play this week. And we're strangely popular with the Slavs. The Slavs love Cocaine Owlbear. We've been on a few podcasts over there. If you speak Ukrainian and or Russian, check that out. But Christopher Landauer is our current stretch goal at 550. It's a crossover between his setting SWAT and Lord of the Rings called Dude, Where's My Trent Wife? About a bunch. Anyway, you can figure it out from the title. But it's a fun game. It's 19 days left. Oh, wow. I'm in a brilliant publishing move. I'm running at exactly the same time as a Pinnacle Kickstarter. So,
that's okay. Like, you know, cross promotion is a thing, right? Like,
this is true. So,
we're all happy about it. Yeah.
It's called Snow Day.
Snow Day. Do you have a description for that yet, or are you still working that up?
You know, I think Snow Day pretty much encapsulates exactly what I'm thinking.
All I know is in the office, we love any adventure that involves coked up creatures eating random people. So
this entire mountain is made out of snow. Do you know what the street value of that is?
All right. Wait, I will give you the last word, Daryl.
But don't give me that kind of responsibility.
Oh, give me the last check word
out,
for us.
Check out Science Fiction Companion.
Science Fiction Companion. tinyurl.com/suedesci-fi. You can go there right now. You have 19 days left to jump on this bandwagon. It is blasting off like a rocket.
One of us. Ooh, nice. One of us.
Nice.
So jump on that bandwagon. Ross and I both back tonight. You're cool, like me and Ross, right? Then you should back.
You know. That's right. Everybody's doing it. The first one's free. Well, that's not actually true, but
the adventure like book is free.
Hey, we have one. Oh,
I want my $2.
Amazing. All right, folks. On that happy note, thanks for joining it. For joining us tonight. Thanks to all of our commentators. Joe, thank you for subscribing. Appreciate that. And we will catch you next time, hopefully in 2 weeks, on Wild, Wild, Wild Cards. See ya.